Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow and welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes, joined as usual by the man behind the wire, the brains behind the operation, my little pal, Augie. I think I'd have given him a wage increase, but I think $2 a week is probably too much. That'd be doubling it. Where would we start this week? Well, of course, only one game in town, and that was the big show in Beijing. Yeah, you better believe it. The Chinese really showing them how it's done. Back west, oh for sure, marching, military, lasers, it was all there. And the predictable meltdown from our friends back home was really remarkable. Get the popcorn ready, this is really good. Run the video, Augie. Oh, serious stuff, right? Wow. Yeah, the slouch past, or the sort of saunter past, compared to an actual march past, right? Unreal. Serious, yeah, I mean.
Wrap it up now. Che, I think the main drawback of this parade was that it was not sponsored by Coinbase.
Yeah, that's where it all went wrong. And you know what they say about marching and drilling in the military, you know, someone who knows a little bit about it, very modestly, I could say. Marching and drilling, it was all about cohesion and men working to work in units under intense fire to trust each other. And they say the more you sweat in peacetime, the less you bleed in war. Mm-hmm, for sure. Now, Augie, of course, has been doing what he does best and getting that significant little nose of his into the media to see what exactly has been said about this remarkable parade, this display of power. It's almost a statement of intent from our friends in China, right? This is where we're going. That's what we're doing. Come along or stay at home and watch the show. Augie, what have our friends been saying in the Western media?
Che, I think I got some salt poisoning from drinking all of their tears. And here's the first example, the headline by The Sun. Villain honored. Putin has red carpet arrival in China ahead of Axis of Evil meeting with Xi and Kim.
Oh yeah, and what about the mirror? The mirror is also good. Let's have a look at the mirror. Despot gathering, okay? Despot gathering in China shows Trump is being played amid deadly warning of what is to come.
And, of course, there is the British with all the scaremongering. Here's Daily Mail. Could NATO stand up to President Xi's axis of upheaval?
Yeah, and, of course, the New York Post, that absolute bastion of journalistic integrity, the New York Post, right? Yeah. The New York Post says Xi Stooges. Yeah, not the Three Stooges. It's the, you know, you see what they did there. It's the Xi Stooges, not the Three Stooges. The triumvirate of terror taunt Trump in Beijing. They chat about immortality. Of course, that's all they spoke about, right? And it's really important meeting, Augie. All they talked about was immortality, right? Because they're three despots living in a volcano. Yeah. Now, of course, as Augie and I were watching the show in Beijing, and it was a show. Remember, this type of stuff isn't done, purely to commemorate the 80th anniversary of the defeat of a very brutal Imperial Japan. Now, remember, China lost a lot of people during the Second World War. Only second to the Russians at about 27 million, the Chinese lost around 20 million people, the vast majority of whom, like in Russia, were actually civilians who were engaged in this war survival against this brutal regime. Now, what you got to understand is the third player, if you like, in this triumvirate was, of course, India. India, who's just been sort of basically landed with these tariffs, which, of course, Americans are going to have to pay. They were the real focus for a lot of Americans. Now, when it all began, okay, and Mr. Trump got elected, Trump was a bit of a star in India, you know? Trump was very popular out that way, right, Augie?
Absolutely correct, Che. We actually have a video proving that.
Yeah, let's have a look at how Trump was received, let's say, and revered in India before he got out the old executive order to lay on a 50% tariff. Let's have a look at the before Trump. Here we go. Run it, Augie. Ah, so they actually have a temple of Trump.
Yeah, back in 2020, good times.
So Trump was the big guy, he was the big savior. Wow.
Wow.
He's also pouring holy water on the head of the statue.
Wow. So they were really, really into Trump. You know, they were backing Trump. Trump was their guy, right, Augie?
Yes, like the villagers were happy about this guy installing this statue. And they were like, oh, let Trump come to India and fix our shit.
Okay. Now, of course, in the aftermath of the sort of relationship going a little bit sour, it's like the kind of boyfriend seeing the ex. Yeah, you know, it's fine. We can still be friends. Yeah, look, I'll see you around the town. Let's have a drink sometime. But then he sees his ex chick walking down the street one night with that kid from school who was just that little bit taller than you, just that little bit more popular. It all kind of went to Yeah, and now Mr. Trump isn't that popular in India, right, Augie?
Absolutely correct, and he's really sour about this. This is the latest tweet by Donald Trump. Looks like we've lost India and Russia to deepest, darkest China. May they have a long and prosperous future together.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sour grapes.
Oh, sour grapes, for sure. I mean, look, I think what it's all about when it comes to Mr. Trump is he just wants to be in the room. He doesn't like to be, you know, outside of the loop. He doesn't like to be the guy commenting on this big meeting because, let's face it, we talked last week, Augie, about Mr. Trump kind of toying with the idea of becoming the all great and all powerful Oz. He kind of likes that idea. And anyway, what president, what politician, who most of them are megalomaniacs anyway, are not interested in this idea of maybe if I didn't have to deal with this democracy stuff, maybe I could just do my stuff, right? But now, after this sort of relationship going sour on India and Mr. Trump saying, well, now you run off with the neighbor, you can, you know, stay where you are, I don't want anything to do with you, you know, let's have a look at how India has now received Mr. Trump. Augie, run the video. Yeah. Oh dear.
There you go. They're burning his portrait again.
You're getting burned now.
They're burning me. They're burning. I'm being so burned.
Oh no. Yeah. Yeah. The Indians like a bit of effigy burning. They do. They like that. They're kind of like the French. They like to get out on the streets and do a bit of burning, right, Augie?
Who doesn't?
Now, you may have noticed here on the Moscow Mules, Augie and I, you know, we have a soft spot for the big Don. And, you know, people will say, even a stop clock, right, Augie tells the right time twice a day. We think there's a good side to the big Don. And one of the best sides to him is the way he takes on the media. You know, I mean, the mainstream media, what a pernicious bunch, coven of cretinous rotters. They really have done so much evil and bad in the world, propping up wars, the fake realities that they've cultivated around some of the most heinous crimes, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Afghanistan. You know, they've been there, Vietnam, Cambodia, all the way. Now, one thing the Don does and does with style is shooting down the odd warmongering journalist, right, Augie? On this occasion, it was a Polish journalist who's just determined, like our Estonian friends and like our French friends and our German friends and our British friends, there's nothing else to talk about except poor Ukraine, the victim Ukraine, who didn't bomb the shit of everybody in Donbass for 10 years, didn't kill 14,000 people there, didn't accelerate its assault on the people and threaten to invade Crimea, which overwhelmingly wants to be Russian. None of that happened. You know, the world history of the region began on the 22nd, 24th of February in 2022. Nothing happened before that. Because don't look over this way. Yeah, all bullshit. Let's have a listen to Mr. Trump sort of laying it down for one of our Polish colleagues who just wants to talk about Ukraine. Uh-huh. The boo-hoo. Run the video, Augie.
You've expressed many times your frustration and disappointment with Putin. But there's no action since you took your office.
How do you know there's no? How do you know there's no action? Really? Wait. Who are you with?
I'm with the Polish media.
Okay. How do you know there's no action? Would you say that putting secondary sanctions on India, the largest purchaser outside of China, they're almost equal, would you say there was no action? That cost hundreds of billions of dollars to Russia. You call that no action? And I haven't done phase two yet or phase three. But when you say there's no action, I think you ought to get yourself a new job, because if you remember, 2 weeks ago, I did.
Boom. Yeah, sweet, right? Now, let me remind you, you know, the Big Don isn't the craziest politician in the United States. Surprise, surprise, right? Augie has discovered a Republican senator who actually believes that if you eat radioactive shrimps, prawns, krevetki, whatever you like, whatever you're having yourself, if you eat them, you're going to become infested with aliens. Now, he didn't produce a picture, Augie, of a biological entity or something that was actually found inside a human being, a parasite or something. He decided to show the Senate a picture of what emerged from one of the space travelers' stomachs in the film Alien from back in the 1980s. Yeah, he actually produced this manufactured image from a movie and said that this is what's going to infest your body. I mean, this is actually America. These are actually the people, right, Augie, who make the laws that govern probably one of the biggest economies on Earth, certainly the biggest probably, and probably the biggest military. Think about that. Yeah, this is real. Mr. Kennedy, take it away. Run the video, Augie.
This is a photograph of the alien from the movie Alien. This is what you could end up looking like if you eat some of the raw, frozen shrimp being sent to the United States by other countries.
Of course, it had to be sent from other countries, right? You see, this is the sort of xenophobia. It had to be from China, maybe, or Vietnam, or maybe Russia. They're sending evil alien shrimps frozen into the U.S. You know, everything is someone else's fault, right? Everything.
Actually, you know, Che, what Russia is sending to the United States? This news just came in as we're taping this show. They're sending eggs now.
That's right, I saw that. Russia, after being accused of having a huge egg crisis, an egg collapse. Of course, we had the potato collapse, the missile collapse, we now have the petrol collapse. Everything is collapsing. President Putin is in a diabetic coma, and one of his 52 doubles is actually run the country. But the egg one was quite interesting. You can have a look here, right? Russia's running out of eggs. The egg shortage in Russia is the definitive indicator that the Russian army is going to collapse. And as of today, guess where Russia is exporting eggs to? Augie?
To the United States of America.
Excellent. Now, of course, however retarded America gets, you know, they kind of do it with a bit of style, right, Augie? The Americans kind of do the retardedness with a bit of style. It's a bit of fun. We saw it last week with the tranny sort of owning this little midget. It was good. You know, you gotta kind of laugh. You gotta laugh along with the Americans. But when it comes to the British, you know, back in Europe, you know, they are kind of trying to institutionalize the dysfunction. Like back in World War II, right, Augie, they had these signs around London saying, you know, stiff upper lip, keep up, keep going, old chap, you know, that type of stuff. But now, guess what? In London, instead of actually trying to fix the crime wave, you know, the UK is now the sort of phone theft capital of the world, okay? It's the knife crime capital, it's the rape capital. You know, I mean, this place is literally going to absolutely in front of our eyes. Instead of actually trying to deal with that problem by some aggressive policing or by getting out there and taking on more cops, they're actually letting cops go. They're actually reducing the number of police in the city of London. Can you believe that? And what else are they doing? Augie has discovered they're actually painting lines, basically, on the street. Don't cross this line because you're likely to get mugged or have your phone stolen. Stay on this side of the street so some dude on a bike can't steal your property and take off. It's almost become like a sport. But what's interesting here is how the authorities aren't actually trying to do anything about it. They're just saying, look, stay on the left side of this line. You probably won't get mugged. Go on the other side. Meh, who knows? Yeah, that's where we are. It's George Orwell would like to say, this is too retarded. I'm not even going to put this in one of my books. No one would believe this. No, I'm not. I'm serious. It's absolutely insane. Run the video, Augie. So here we have it. Look.
Mind the grab.
Mind the grab. I mean, what?
I wonder, if you do cross this line and you get mugged, does the police refuse to investigate this because it's your fault now?
Yeah, well, that's where it's going. That's where it's going. So it's like, anyway, in the UK, how can anybody be actually available to investigate if you actually get mugged or a kid gets beaten up or stabbed or something? Because all the cops are too busy arresting comedians. Yeah, like Graham Linehan, the guy who wrote Father Ted, a very famous comedy about an Irish priest in the UK. He was arrested, taken off a plane by five armed police officers at Heathrow Airport for tweeting about trans people. Yeah. I tell you what, when they come down the plane calling your name, you know, the world becomes a very small place. It's a very scary, scary thing to happen. Take it from me. But imagine for a tweet about trans people. That's where we are in the UK. But put a line down the street. It's all your own fault, UK. It's all your own fault. So let's have a look at Graham Linehan, a man who's very bravely stood up against this trans mafia in the UK. Remember Keir Starmer, David Lammy, who will now be the Deputy Prime Minister, you know, can't define a woman. Imagine that. Think about that. Think about how 10 years ago, how outrageous 15 years ago would have been. How so outrageous to say what Mr. Linehan has now on his sandwich board as he stands outside the court. How crazy it would have been to say, keep men out of women's sports. That would have just been an absolute reality. We're losing touch with reality in the West, and we're enjoying it, it seems. It's absolutely crazy. Run the video, Augie.
There's no such thing as a transgender child, Shane. How's about that revelation?
We have a few words ahead of today's appearance.
I mean, there's no such thing as a transgender child. Of course there's no such thing as a transgender child. Transgender ideology is a viral thing that's deposited into the brains of kids. I mean, where were all the transgender kids when we were little, when we were kids back in the 70s? They didn't exist. Well, like, it's all manufactured, right? It seems to me to be all manufactured, Augie, right?
Absolutely correct, Che. And I never wanted to chop off my dick when I was five.
No. I'd say a few other people did, though. You were such a pain in the ass. But speaking about manufactured realities, some things aren't manufactured. And while we're talking about these manufactured realities, transgender children, you know, keeping men out of women's sports, this debate which occupies so much space within the client media, what they're not talking about is just as interesting. Think about it. Slava Ukraine, 1,000-year deal to support Ukraine, you know, all this bullshit. What are they not talking about? That's what you should be considering back home. And what they're not talking about are the numbers, the figures that demonstrate the collapse in the UK. What's actually going on in the streets, right, Augie?
Absolutely correct, Chi. And as we were talking about the thefts, here are some numbers of thefts for you, my dear viewers. And the latest report from August 25 indicates that a theft from the person in London is record-breaking, with more than 100,000 offences recorded last year, meaning that it has doubled since 2019-2020.
Now, of course, things aren't bad for everybody in the UK. There is one family completely reliant on state benefits, who've never worked for generations, never had an actual job, who stole most of the shit that they own, including the diamonds in their crowns. Yeah, and that's the British royal family. And, you know, even in Ireland, where I'm from, Queen Elizabeth, the current king's mother, was treated with some kind of respect, actually. She was seen as somebody, as a safe pair of hands. You know, she wasn't despised like her son seems to be. He seems to be an absolute cretinous piece of kit. Nobody seems to like this dude. Recently, the British government tried to give out free portraits of him, and they printed like tens of thousands of them, and only about 200 people actually applied to get the official portrait to hang of poor old King Charlie. Let's remind ourselves just who is the British royal family. Run the video, Augie.
The Prince of Wales has grown up in such a privileged lifestyle that he doesn't have mechanics to choose for himself anymore. Everything is done for him. His pyjamas are pressed every morning so that they don't have creases in them for the next day. His shoelaces are pressed flat with an iron. His underwear is folded in a certain way. The bath towel has to be placed in a certain fashion. Prince Charles does have his valet squeeze 1 inch of toothpaste onto his toothbrush every morning. On one occasion, he rang me from his library and he said, Paul, a letter from the Queen seems to have fallen into my waste paper bin. Would you pick it out? The waste paper bin was there. He was sat there. I had to bend down into the paper bin and pick out the letter, put it back on his desk. Will that be all, Your Royal Highness?
Yes, thank you very much.
Wow. That's what you call privilege, right? Or is it what you call retardation? Remember, King Charles and the British royal family have 15 palaces across the UK. They cost the British taxpayer a fortune. Now, of course, you know, some people are, you know, emotionally attached to them, some tourism, etc. But when you look around outside the castle gates, right, Augie, there's a lot of problems, a lot of problems right now.
Absolutely correct, Jay. And the thing is, officially, the British taxpayers have spent around £86 million on the royal family last year. That's the official numbers. But the anti-monarchy activists say that the real number of money being spent on the British royal family is much larger. It's actually £500 million, half a billion pounds.
Wow. That's a lot of money. And of course, these days, it's a lot of money that could have been sent to Kiev.
Absolutely atrocious.
So as we leave a post-truth UK, we're going to take, we could even swim it, Augie. You know, a healthy, young, muscular man like you could probably swim the channel. Little pond between France and the UK, which many armies have tried to cross, including Mr. Hitler and Napoleon. Didn't work out too well for them. And let's head to France. Now, France is also living in a post-truth reality. Mr. Macron, our friend Macrolian, he's actually on, probably around 11% popularity in France right now, along with most of the other European leaders, exceptionally unpopular, like the Starmer Fuhrer in the UK. But when you get to France, this post-truth reality, this manufactured idiocy, has even spread down into the sewers, Augie, right? Where now we're being told in France, if you're French, that, you know, don't worry about the rat infestation in Paris. Now, anybody who's been to Paris and decided to go out for an evening stroll around the 7th arrondissement, around the Eiffel Tower, as many people do, as I did recently when I was there, I could see the darkness moving. It was only when I took my phone out and shot a light to see that it wasn't the darkness moving. It was like 10,000 four-legged friends scurrying around in the park in Tour de Eiffel. These rats are everywhere. But the French now, Augie, are telling us something different. The rat is not your enemy. The Russians are. The Chinese are. But the rat is your friend. Right, Augie?
Absolutely correct, Che. And let me say it clear. France has surrendered to rats.
It wouldn't be the first time France surrendered. Run the video, Augie.
Have you ever seen a rat? Look on my shoulder. This is a female. Her name is Plume. Ah, the brown rat. It's filthy. There you go. You're brave. The rat is useful in Paris. Without it, the city wouldn't be as clean. We reach about 75 tons of organic waste that are consumed every day by the brown rat. Its reputation suffers from a bad image, especially because of the Black Death in the 14th century, which was not caused by the rat we see today.
So let's get this straight. The rat is no longer the bad guy. Rats are good, right?
A rat is your friend. He fights for your freedom.
So the rat is your friend. Ukraine is a democracy. Everything is going well. The Chinese economy is dead. The Russians are losing, although they're taking territory and winning. So it's just all part of the post-truth reality, Augie, right? It seems to be something in the water in Brussels. Kaja Kallas, the Estonian vassal-brained halfwit. Now remember, if this was just a stupid woman saying stupid things, so what? You know, I hear quite a lot of stupid women saying stupid things. But guess what? This is the top diplomat of the European Union. Remember, the top diplomat. This is the person who carries and delivers and interacts with the rest of the world on behalf of every single European citizen. That's how dumb this halfwit is. Let's have a listen to her talking about history. As if she did not know that China and Russia defeated fascism in the Second World War, that this is something that was manufactured. The fact that between these two countries, nearly 50 million of their citizens died fighting Nazism and Imperial Japan. This absolutely brainless fruitcake had no idea about it, it seems. And if she did know, she wants to kind of manufacture some new reality that this never happened at all. This is a very, very dangerous individual. And it's a very dangerous individual representing hundreds of millions of people in Europe, the cradle of intelligence, civilization, and democracy. Oh, Jesus. Run the video, Augie.
You know that Russia was addressing China like you and like Russia and China, we, you know, fought the Second World War. We won the Second World War. We won the Nazism. And I was like, okay, that is something new. But then you can see, first you can, you know, if you know history, then, you know, it raises a lot of question marks in your head. But, you know, I can tell you nowadays, people don't really read and remember history that much, which is that, you know, you can see that they buy this narrative.
I mean, this is probably the most stunning example of idiocy and retardation that we've ever had on this show. Now, forget about Augie and the stuff he says every week. He doesn't really matter. He's not important. This is meant to be an important person saying something so detached from reality that would really make you think that she's some kind of operation to, I don't know, do what. But you really would have to try very hard to portray yourself as being that dumb, right, Augie?
Che, I spent 5 years studying history, and I really wonder what books is she reading now?
Can she read? Who knows? So that brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Moscow Mules. As usual, we love making this show, and we love the fact that you watch it, and so many of you are actually watching it. It really humbles us, and we're delighted to have you along for the ride. And what we're seeing now, and something that Augie and I have noticed, is as the West loses economically, it loses the war in Ukraine, and both things manufactured by ideas of Western hegemony and dominance have backfired. The boomerang has made the full circle, and it's hitting them straight in the teeth. And as it does, the whole idea now is to create an alternative reality. Good is bad, bad is good, men are women, rats aren't dangerous and dirty, yeah. And anybody who talks to anybody else about building a multipolar and a more connected, more just world is the enemy. I don't think it's going to get any easier for those of us trying to speak out for the truth and to try to highlight the reality of the fake reality that's been manufactured for your consumption. But we're going to definitely keep trying. So, till the same time, same place next week, Augie and I, looking forward to seeing you again. Until then, look after yourselves and look after each other. Good luck.